We're going to read from the 8th chapter of Acts, starting at the 26th verse. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in 1776 BCE, in Olympia, Greece, the Olympic Games were inaugurated in honor of the god Zeus. Thousands from all over the Mediterranean traveled to Olympia. They just poured into that area. Now, this was a time of political unrest. They were guaranteed safe passage through the unusual suspension of war during the Olympic Games. In Australia, the Aborigines participate in something called a walkabout. At any given moment of time, they might leave what they are doing to walk miles into the deep outback to visit ancestral grounds. And this can happen anytime. And they describe it as if whoever is on their walkabout is in a trance and they are just moved by the Spirit to go into these ancestral grounds. In the Comanche Nation, a single eagle might be the image for an adolescent's entry into what is called their moment of great awakening. You see, the ancients, in all cultures, practice pilgrimage. They regularly left home as a way of honoring and encountering God. I wonder if on a secular holiday like the 4th of July, if those of us who are at the beach could imagine that God really called us there to take in spiritual truths, perhaps even crossing paths with others who are searching for God. Or if those of us who are gathered for outdoor barbecues could experience the Spirit's call to communion with our family and our neighbors, and perhaps even some uninvited guests. Or how about if those of us who show up for the local fireworks display are on some kind of pilgrimage in hopes of maybe finding hope? Leaving home, moving away from the familiar, seeking for something beyond the routine, some of us will travel a distance to say yes to God. Well, this story begins with a messenger. An angel of the Lord directs Philip to leave home, directs Philip to go to this road that is south of Jerusalem. It's the very, very last road before you hit desert, the last stop before the wilderness, and Philip was on that road. It says there was a chariot there with an Ethiopian eunuch stopped on that road. It said that the Ethiopian had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. So listen up. This Ethiopian had just made his spiritual pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. See, sometimes leaving home helps one find God. Sometimes one needs to be on a wilderness road with other foreigners. It says the Ethiopian was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Even though he had just been to the temple for worship, he had questions that had not been answered. Although he was a Jew, because of his service to this pagan queen, he was considered an outsider to Israel's piety. I know there's a lot said about his position as a eunuch. Scholars dispute what that term really means, but I think we can agree that he was outside of the piety of Israel's community because he was serving a treasury for a queen who was not of his faith. You see, Israel accepted nothing less than total allegiance to the God of Israel. And so the Spirit, this messenger of the Lord, directed Philip, and Philip was told to go and stand by this chariot. Now, read carefully, because who invited Philip in? Who invited Philip in? The outsider invited Philip in. And Philip went inside that chariot. I think our interior lives grow when we invite others in, listening to another share their questions and their concerns. There are always those that we consider outsiders for whom the Spirit is moving and calling. Consider that both the Samaritan, whose name was Simon, that we talked about last week, and this Ethiopian eunuch are excluded from covenant community. Both of them live outside the covenant community. Is it possible that the people who seek to know God are the very people being excluded? The prophet Isaiah, chapter 56, reads like this: "Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let no eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree,' for this is what the Lord says: To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name, better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. It certainly sounds like God includes everyone. It goes on to say that the burnt offerings and sacrifices of the foreigners will be accepted on my altar. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. Prophets like Isaiah were never too popular. They confronted the comfortable, and they reminded those who had no hope to have hope. Prophets like Isaiah were those who God used to remind people that we don't make room for God in our lives, but that God is too large for our lives, and if we want anything to do with God, we have to fit into him. We have to change and conform our lives. We have to align ourselves with God's plan for us. So think of the way that you have made decisions in your past. Think of the way the Spirit has guided you. How did you choose your life work? How did you meet your soulmate? How did you find the work that you are doing now? How much was intentional, and how much was chance or good fortune? I'll share with you that I was in my second week of nursing school, and I knew that I had been led to go to nursing school, having had some experience in foreign countries with my dad, who was a doctor. So I was pretty sure that I wanted to head down that road. But my second week of nursing school, my dad called me on the phone and said, I've decided not to pay for your education. And so I was kind of at a loss for where to go and what to do from that place. And I had an advisor, and I will never forget the name of my first advisor in nursing school. Her name was Faith. And I went to see Faith, and I said, Faith, here's the story. This is what's going on. And she said, well, you tell me what your goal is in nursing school. What is it that you're trying to accomplish, and what are you trying to achieve? And I told her, and she said, well, then, no matter what, you need to... I said, maybe I can switch to the two-year program and figure out a way to afford that. And she said, no, you need to stay in this four-year program, and we will find a way for that to happen. And that is all she said to me. And there was no other paperwork filled out. There was no recommendations for who to talk to or where to go. But that is all she said to me, and I knew that I would be okay. I think it was about a month later, I wound up with a full Air Force scholarship and finished school that way. Well, then you know that the Spirit at that time took me to Mississippi. Of all places, a girl from a small town in New England winding up in the deep South in Mississippi for my first assignment. There were many shifts and changes along that road for me, many new things that I had to learn and understand during that time. It was a time of things where everything in my life was unexpected and nothing seemed to happen very logical. And in fact, everything that happened from that point on seemed fairly random. It was there, after a couple of years of living in Mississippi, that I met my husband, Paul. No doubt in my mind that he is the person that God intended for me to grow in faith with, to be the father of our kids, and to be the person to share in ministry with me. At the time that we met, Paul would have questioned seriously women in ministry. And all these years later, how did we get here, if not by God's Spirit? So I share that with you as a way to describe how the Spirit moves in our lives to learn spiritual truths. It will not come in any way that we expect. It will not arrive in a logical fashion. The Spirit of God will move us to different places, both literally and figuratively. Well, we ask, you know, how is it that the Spirit moves? What are those ways that we can say for sure that the Spirit is at work in our lives? We know that we can ask for the Spirit to move into our lives. John Wesley's prayer preceded his Aldersgate experience. John Wesley prayed that the Spirit might fill him and change him. We sometimes are told that if you have a real sense of peace and assurance, that you can be sure that the Spirit is working in that place. And I would say, well, maybe, but transformation does not always happen peacefully. The Spirit might actually unsettle us to move us. The Spirit can move through music. The Spirit can move through art and image. We read in Scripture stories like the story of Noah, where God spoke directly, gave Noah specific directions to be carried out. Noah knew nothing about a flood beforehand. It was totally illogical for him to build an ark, and yet Noah was obedient to the direct word of God that was given to him. He responded out of nothing other than his love for God. Remember the angel that appeared to Mary, again, a messenger of the Lord, and told her she would carry God's son into the world. It was not logical. It was not expected. The Spirit moved through dreams to assure Joseph of his betrothal to Mary and of all that would take place. Well, here in the Ethiopian's conversion was the Spirit of God moving through Scripture. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The prophet is describing Jesus Christ. And the eunuch has questions. He doesn't understand what this passage is all about. Who is this God that's being described here? Perhaps he himself had felt like a sheep led to slaughter. Perhaps his job required him to keep his mouth shut. Perhaps he had never felt he was treated fairly. Who is this God that would put up with that kind of treatment? And I can imagine Philip saying to him, wait till we get to the good part. You need to hear that Jesus' death brought forth resurrection, and Jesus in life and in death taught us that God creates new possibilities for community, for individuals, for all to live up to their full potential and be given a new life, to become a new creation, that the sin of the world was taken away through God's Son so we could all belong to the family of God. You don't need to be alone. You don't need to live outside the community any longer. And the eunuch was baptized. Reading Scripture is always an encounter with God. Reading Scripture is always filled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is wet. It is drenched in God's love. The Word of God is effective. Our conversion happens when the Word and the Spirit are free to move in and move us to new places. As we read through the Acts of the Apostles this summer, you'll be astonished at how frequently the Spirit moves people. You will be amazed at what the Spirit moves people to do, convincing and converting believers of Jesus Christ. Last week, the Spirit sent Philip through Samaria, of all places, and even the Simon the Sorcerer was convinced in the work of Christ. A whole community of Samaritans was converted. The Spirit was conveyed when Peter and John laid hands on the Samaritans. This week, Philip is guided by the Spirit to a wilderness road and meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch received redemption, delivered into new life for the faithful response of Philip. I wonder if our summer vacations could take on whole new meaning as we listen for God's Spirit to direct and guide us during our time away from the familiar. Watch for the illogical. Be ready for the unexpected. It just might be the Spirit moving you for the sake of redeeming another. Amen.